Kind, eternal Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for giving us a privilege to be together again with brothers and sisters of like precious faith. Lord, we pray you come and minister your way to us this morning in a special way. Speak to our hearts, Lord, so that when we go out of these doors, we'll be better than when we came. Grant it, we pray, in Jesus Christ's most precious name. Amen. I'd like to bring you greetings from the believers in South Africa, Zimbabwe, and Botswana, where we had traveled to see the believers over there. We are going to continue on the book of Revelation. That is what we're talking about, at least when I left, the book of Revelation. And like I mentioned earlier on, the book of Revelation, it includes a lot of books that actually, because, you know, the prophet says the picture in this book is so great, like the picture of Jesus Christ, that one character alone is not sufficient to show us the whole picture. So that's why we have a lot of Old Testament characters. You know, we have Abraham, we have Elijah, we have David, Solomon, all the prophets. And all those, it takes all of them put together to bring one big picture of Christ. Because one alone character is not going to do. You take Abraham, he only shows you one perspective of Christ. You take Elijah, you only see one perspective. You take Elisha, you also see one. But you take all of them combined, it will show you the whole picture of Christ. That's why it says in the book of Psalms, behold, in the volume of the book, it is written of me. So it takes the whole volume to bring that big one picture. We understand? Yeah. So that is what it is with all most of the books of the Old Testament. When it comes to the book of Revelation, you take Genesis, it will show you one perspective. You take Ruth, it will show you another picture. You take Esther, you take Daniel, you take Kings, different books, they will show you a different picture. But it takes all those books put together to bring the whole picture which is being shown in the book of Revelation. Right. Remember, Genesis is the seed. Revelation is the harvest. Yeah. Amen. In the seed chapter in Genesis, it ends with Joseph dying, is it? Genesis chapter 50, that is when he dies, is it? Said, and Joseph died in Egypt, in a coffin. That's how it ends, Genesis. Over here in Revelation, it ends with a greater Joseph. Revelation 22, a greater Joseph with his kingdom. Because Joseph is a type of Christ, is it? So these books are showing you certain elements of this whole picture. So we want to go to the book of 1 Kings today, and we want to see something over there. But we are still on the book of Revelation. But let's see another picture which the book of Kings shows us. 1 Kings. Can you please put the quotation that I gave you, Brother Mark, if you're ready, so that we can start with that, just to lay a background here, so that we know where we're going. All right, this is what the prophet says here in an exposition of the seven churches. I'll just read this first. Now let this be known. Scripture does not play with words. Whatever is in the record is there for the anointed eyes to see. I pray our eyes are anointed this morning. It is there for a purpose. In that word, it says Genesis 3:20. Of course, we are not talking of this, but I'm just bringing a point here. And Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. But no scripture ever says that Adam is the father of all living. If there is not this connotation to be placed upon Genesis 3:20, why would it be mentioned that Eve is the mother of all living? And no word says about Adam. The fact is that though Eve was the mother of all living, Adam was not the father of all living. He's bringing a point here. But the first part there is what I wanted to emphasize on. Now let this be known. Scripture does not play with words. These are not the words of a man. This is God in print form when you are reading the Bible. Whatever is on in the record is there for the anointed eyes to see. So when we are reading the Bible, I want always to repeat that because I want it to sink. The Bible is not a newspaper. Amen. It's not a novel. It's not CNN. It's not NBC, whatever it may be, BBC. It's not Al Jazeera. This is the word of God. Amen. So if we are all clear on that, it will help us understand this book better. All right, thank you, my brothers. First Kings. Let's read First Kings, the first chapter. Now, King David was old and stricken in years, and they covered him with clothes, but he get no heat. This is what we are being told by the Bible, the anointed word of God. It starts by saying, now King David. Not now David, no. Now King David. Right. You are being told he's a king. Yeah. There's three dispensations, is it? Yes. Yeah, thank you. There's Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David. So this is being, we are being told now, this is like the kingship. King David was old and stricken in years, and they covered him with clothes, but he get no heat. Clothes, what is clothes? Clothes is a covering, is it? Religion. That's a covering. So the religions, they covered him with clothes. The religions of the world, they can't satisfy the Lord, the king. The real King David is Christ, is it? The denominations, all kinds of these religions, they can't satisfy him. They can't give him the heat that he's looking for. Yeah. Even though they try to cover him, they try to teach this and that. No, that doesn't satisfy. Wherefore his servant said unto him, let there be sought for my lord, the king, a young virgin, and let her stand before the king, and let her cherish him, and let her lie in thy bosom, that my lord the king may get hit. Let there be sought a what? Young virgin. A virgin is what man is not tempered with. So let's seek a virgin, something that man has not played around with. Amen. And this will help our king to get hit. Is it? That's what they are saying here. So they sought for a fair damsel throughout all the course of Israel. Course, that word, course in Latin has a root meaning of, it comes from the root word rib, R-I-B. La costia, that's a Latin word, rib. So rib, you already see where we're going here. Yeah. Let it, from the course of Israel, and found Abishag, a Shunammite, and brought her to the king. And the damsel was fair and cherished the king and ministered to him, but the king knew her not. There was no intimacy here with the king, with this damsel. She had, in other words, she received the baptism of the Holy Ghost without a sensation. There was no saying, okay, if you speak in tongues, then you got it. There was no sensation. Yeah. But she is receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Who is receiving the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost today without a sensation? The bride, the true church of God, is it? They receive without a sensation. Are we clear?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So let me just hold off on there and then make a few comments. This is the time when the son of David was fixing to come on the throne. This time here, because David himself is fixing to go off the scene, is it? So it's the time when the son of David is fixing to come on the throne. In this case, who is the son of David? It's Solomon, is it? They're fixing to enthrone Solomon now to give him the throne, is it? Because David himself is going to go off the scene. Are we together? Yeah. And Solomon is about to come to be enthroned as king. David was a type of God. That is the fatherhood. And here the king's heart is focused on the dispensation of peace that is fixing to come in. Because he's about to go. Then Solomon is the type of the millennium, is it? So Solomon is about to be enthroned. But we are being told now here, before Solomon comes on the throne, what is happening? this is the foundation we are being given. Like the Bible is laying a foundation, telling us the events that come in before Solomon is enthroned. We together? Yeah. So Abishag, like I said, that's something that man is not tempered with. It's a symbol of innocence. Nothing was done. Abishag, she was a virgin, a chaste virgin, which means men's ideas, men's traditions, though, they were not tempered with that woman, that bride. And verse 5. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. This, what goes on in your mind? You say, I will be king. Isaiah 14, verse 12 to 14. He said, I will be exalted. I will be like the Most High. Now you see what the Bible is telling us. What is in the scripture is there for the anointed eyes to see. So you are reading. You are not reading this book like a newspaper. When you are reading with anointed eyes. So you are already seeing Lucifer's plan here. He said, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. If you are a Bible reader, you already see that's the same spirit with Absalom. Absalom did that too when he rebelled against David. And Absalom was perfect in beauty, just like Lucifer. He was the sum of all beauty. Ezekiel 28, I believe. It tells us he was perfect in beauty, Lucifer. So was Adonijah. So is this man Adonijah. Okay, so was Absalom, and so is Adonijah. And his father, verse 6, had not displeased him at any time in saying, why hast thou done so? And he was a very goodly man. He was handsome. He was perfect in beauty. Just like Lucifer, his father, just like his brother Absalom. And his mother bare him after Absalom. They have the same mother. They have the same spirit. They have the same mother. So verse 6 unfolds the mystery of Lucifer. Adonijah and Absalom came from the same womb and both wanted to take the kingdom from the rightful heir. Verse 7, and he conferred with Joab. Who is Joab? The military power. That's politics. You are seeing now, we are being told now, this is politics that is coming into play. And the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar, the priest. Priesthood, that's religion. You see, Adonijah is taking these guys, the military power, Joab, and he takes Abiathar, the priest. So he has politics and religion with him. You're seeing what is happening. He has those two powers on his side. Yeah. They following Adonijah helped him. So they are together now. Three powers coming together. They are now together. They are working together against now the kingdom of David. Wow. They are trying to bring down that kingdom. Yeah. But Zadok, the priest. So the verse 1 told us, now King David. Verse 8 now, Zadok the priest. So we have the kingship. Verse 1. Verse 8, we have the priesthood of Christ now. You see, these are the three different dispensations. Verse 10 will show us Nathan, the prophet. You see? So we have king, priest, prophet. Son of David, son of God, son of man, is it? The three dispensations where Christ comes. Christ comes in three sons' names. So we are seeing already verse 1, King David, Zadok the priest, verse 10, Nathan the prophet. Keep that in your minds. We continue reading verse 8. But Zadok the priest and Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and Nathan the prophet, and Shimei and Rei, the mighty men which belonged to David, were not with Adonijah. The fivefold ministry, they did not go with this man. They stayed with David. Faithful ministers. And Adonijah, verse 9, slew sheep and oxen and fed cattle by the stone of Zoheleth. Zoheleth means serpent or slippery. This is the place they chose with such a name. They were having a feast at this place called Slippery, taking the kingdom by flattery, like the serpent took Adam's wife by flattering her with his words. So it was a place of flattery. That's where they chose. It's chosen strategically. They knew what they were doing. Which is by Enrogel, and called all his brethren, the king's sons, and all the men of Judah, the king's servants. But Nathan, the prophet, and Benaiah, and Solomon, his brother, he called not. Wherefore Nathan spake unto Bathsheba. Remember, Bathsheba, this is a type of the bridle. Nathan is a prophet. He is now speaking to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, "Yes, thou not heard that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, doth reign, and David our Lord knoweth it not." So Nathan is telling the bride, the prophet is talking to the bride, unfolding the enemy's scheme. You see what is happening? What does the prophet say? He said, the scheme of the enemy has been unveiled. And he's howling. Do you all remember him saying that? Yeah. So the enemy scheme is being unveiled. So the prophet is telling the bride what is going to happen. Amen. The prophet in this dispensation, he came and preached to us more than 1,100 messages. Why was he preaching those messages? He was revealing to us the scheme of the enemy. So we know, we are not caught unawares. We know exactly what is going to happen, what this enemy is trying to plan in this world. Because there are people who are trying to take over this world. You know that. This world is contractors. It is engineers. It is architects. They are all trying to build their kingdom here. And what is the aim? They are trying to enthrone that man of sin. All this time they are building it. And people are caught unawares. The prophet preached them and knoweth it not. They have no idea what's going on. But that there are people who are working behind the scenes trying to build a kingdom for this man of sin and enthrone him. And they are surely doing it unknowingly. They are helping enthrone this man. All right. So all these powers we see now, the religion and the politics, they are coming together. It says, all right, if you go now, you see this point that I just made about this power is coming to that. The priesthood, which was religion, Abiathar. Then Joab was a military power. They are coming together against the kingdom of God. This is exactly Revelation 6. Because we are still on the book of Revelation. Revelation 6, verse 7 to 8. Politics, religion, and demon powers, and the hell following death. Uniting of the powers. The fourth seal. What is the fourth seal? It's the uniting of the powers, is it? And the uniting of all the colors of those horses. Remember, white, black, red. They unite all together to form one color, gray. This is what is happening here. They are all uniting. We are together? All right, thank you. Well, it's only a few more minutes. We will just try to put a few more things here. So all these powers came together to crown Lucifer. In this case, of course, the Lucifer is being represented here by Adonijah. And God the God of this evil age. Of course, in our day, that's the man of sin who sits in the Vatican, the Pope, is it? And, all right, so Zadok is verse 8, that's the priest. The name Zadok means the just one. Then Nathan is God's gift. Jesus is both God's gift and is also a gift to this world, is it? Is God's gift and is the just one, I'm sorry. That's Jesus Christ himself, is it? He's both. So we see these two men, they are representing Christ himself. Zadok and Nathan. So we have Zadok, like verse 1, like I said, King David. Verse 8, Zadok the priest. Verse 10. Nathan the prophet, son of David, son of God, the priesthood, son of man, the prophet. Is it? The three comings of God, which he already came as the son of man in the time when he was walking in the shores of Galilee. He was the son of man, is it? He would always call himself the son of man, not son of David. He was the son of, that was the son of man dispensation. Then in the seven church ages, Revelation 2 to Revelation chapter 3, is the son of David. I mean, son of God, because he's the Holy Ghost, is it? Then son of David, that would be in the millennium. So we can see that this is being typed here in these few verses in this book of 1 Kings, the first chapter. We are together. All right. Let's keep reading a little bit. I'll skip some of the verses, I think, because I may not get where I wanted. I know I will not get to it anyway because we always run out of time, but just try to squeeze a few more things. Verse 12. Now, therefore, come, let me, I pray thee, give thee counsel, that thou mayest save thine own life and the life of thy son Solomon. Go and get thee unto King David and say unto him, didst not thou, my lord, O king, swear unto thine handmaid, saying, assuredly, Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne. Why then doth Adonijah reign? Behold, while thou yet talkest there with the king, I also will come in after thee and confirm thy words. And Bathsheba went in unto the king, unto the chamber, and the king was very old, and Abishag the Shunammite ministered unto the king. So in verse 14, he's saying, I will confirm thy words. God will always give respect to the words of the bride when confirmed by the prophet. You see? Yeah. Verse, like I said, you know, I'm sure, you know, most of us, we know, like, all this story. So if I pick every verse, I'll just keep most, maybe the verse I want to key, to really key down on. Let's read verse 19. And he doth slain, and he hath slain oxen and fed cattle and sheep in abundance, and he hath called all the sons of the king, and Abiathar the priest, and Joab the captain of the host. But Solomon, thy servant, hath he not called. So Adonijah, the great feast, this is the ecumenical move, as you can see here. The World Council of Churches, politicians, and all the masses. Do you see that? This is what is happening here. Verse 20. And thou, my Lord, O King, the eyes of all Israel are upon thee, that thou shouldest tell them who shall sit on the throne of my Lord, the King, after him. Only God alone will show all these world systems who the true king of kings is it? It's only God who will prove at the right time. They will try to enthrone whoever they want today. But God himself, because he said, only thou, my Lord, O King, the eyes of all Israel are upon thee, that thou shouldest tell them who shall sit on the throne of my Lord, the King, after him. Only God is going to show. They may try to enthrone the Pope to make him the king, the ruler of this world and everything. But at the right time, God is going to show us who is the real king of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yeah, at the right time. Verse 25. For he is gone down this day and he hath slain oxen. So you can see here, the Bible is clearly telling he has gone down. Not gone up, but gone down. You see? Is the start of his downfall. This day, and he had slain oxen and fed cattle and sheep in abundance, and he had called all the king's sons and the captains of the host and Abiathar the priest, and behold, they eat and drink before him and say, God save King Adonijah. Yeah. So this is the ambition that the devil had, because remember Isaiah 12 verse 14, he said verse 12 to 14, say, I will be king. And in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 4, He is actually being worshipped as God. He has had a marvelous success. Like what the prophet says. He says, it's the people who have helped him to have the marvelous success. On his own, the devil is powerless, you know, without the masses. But the people give him the power. They let him do whatever he wants to do. And then he has a marvelous success and they've enthroned him. Unknowingly, they are making him the king of this whole world. Verse 29. And the king swore and said, as the Lord liveth, that hath redeemed my soul out of all distress, even as I swear unto my Lord, unto the Lord God of Israel, saying, assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne in my stead. Even so will I certainly do this day. So we can see verse 29, it says, you know, the king, he say, I have, and the king swear. Remember Revelation, let's go to Revelation for a minute, 10. If you can, you know, if your eyes are anointed, like the prophet said, you can see something here. Revelation 10, verse 6. Verse 1 is, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud and a rainbow upon his head. Then verse 6, and swear by him that liveth. See, he's swearing. Just, this is what he did, this king, when he came. You see, he swear, verse 20, and the king swear and said. So you see, he comes and swears and declares who is the true king of kings. Yeah. So he's doing the same thing. We are being shown here types and shadows. Let me read this quotation real quick. I didn't put it up, but this is good to read. It says, I think I'll just end with this one. This is from the First Seal, 18 March 1963, paragraph 144. What about the hour has come that when his bride must be taken away? What? The hour has come that time shall be no more. The angel is ready to set one foot on the land and the one on the sea with a rainbow over him. With feet and say, time is run out. And besides that, he raised up his hand and swore that time would be no more. When this happened, how perfect it is. Sworn, you see, it is a sworn affidavit to the church. So verse 29, that's the sworn affidavit to the church, to the bride, Bathsheba, the bride, the church. Because a woman is the church in the Bible. Yeah. So the prophet calls it a sworn affidavit to the church. I think we'll just end there because I only have like 3 minutes. I'll not finish. But I hope we are all following now, seeing, you know, this picture, these books we have here, different books of the Old Testament, these are like everyone shows us a small part of the big picture, which will be shown in the book of Revelation. It's like, you know, we have an elephant. We take an elephant, we put it right here in the center of this house, of this church here. These people here, they say, okay, draw an elephant. The elephant is facing that way. The tail is here. When we see the picture, we see a big trunk, a tail, two stubby feet. I will draw two stubby feet and a tail. And like maybe the ears will show a little bit, is it? This is my picture. These ones will draw a trunk this way, a tail here, two stubby feet. But Brother Kevin there, you draw two big ears, a tusk and a trunk, is it? So if you take that one picture of each one, it doesn't make sense. We have to take those pictures together. It's, oh, this is an elephant. Oh, yeah. These people are looking at this elephant from different angles. It makes sense now, isn't it? So this is how these books of the Old Testament are. Each one shows a picture, a different picture of this plan of redemption, which is actually comes to its fulfillment in the book of Revelation. So taking one book in isolation, it may not do you much good, but you have to take them all together. These are pieces of the puzzle. So you need now the anointing of God to put those pieces together to form one big picture. Then it will make sense. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time we have had to share a little bit on the word of God. May you help us, Lord, so that as we go out, we will go out now being better Christians, even this service that we are about to go into, anoint the preacher, the brother who stand here. We don't want to see a man, but we just want to see you speaking to that man, using him as your vessel. Help us, Lord, so that we accept the word as it comes, whether it comes in rebuke, to encourage us, whatever way the word comes, give us a receptive heart. We pray and commit everything into your hands. In Jesus Christ's most precious name, amen.